Father, we just give it all to you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We woke up today so grateful.
Yes.
Praise God.
For breath that we've got to take into our lungs, just for being awake, for being somewhat sane. We're grateful to you for all of our blessings, the ones that we wanted and the ones we didn't expect. Father, we just ask you to take a hold of this. I don't want to call it a class. This whole time that we share together every Sunday morning. Take a hold of it and make it yours.
Yes.
Father, just let us lift you up. Let us extol your name. Let us lift ourselves up in the doing of it. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What we're supposed to talk about today is this one in Revelation 3:12, this overcoming thing, the overcoming word that we're on, verse that we're on this week. Revelation 3:12, to him that overcometh I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So, I know that over the years we've talked about that particular overcoming verse because it's a song that we sing.
Sure then, that I will look up, will I bake? A pillar
in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God. To him, and so forth, it goes on forever. Let's just see if anybody has
that's
anything.
An old one.
It is. I
was reading something just a little before that. I was thinking how wonderful, but you know what? I shouldn't say we, because some of you might not like this. But I believe a lot of times we take things for granted. Where it says, when you just read that, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he should go no more out.
Mm-hmm.
That going out. Is I think that's a reference to third chapter, the 8th verse. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. I think a lot of people think that that's always open. All right. But here it's got a reference to that open door. It says, either the door of opportunity, which anytime you needed a job, you always thought the door was an opportunity. I think this is how we transform stuff. But it says, or the door of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
It said the content favors the latter, otherwise the door of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you have to be more than just occasionally going through that door, you have to remain in that door. That door has to be the door. I am the way, the door of the life, right? He has to be that door. So otherwise there's how we get our pillar is going through Jesus. That's how we become a pillar.
Amen.
Because we remain in and we go no more in and out. Growing up as a kid, my mom would, she said, I don't believe in this, this, and this. And I mean, she just flat out tell you. And you didn't get a vote on it. You just listened to her. But she said, I don't believe this going in and out. She said, I believe that you go in, you remain in. She said, you ever seen a pillar move? She said, what's it take to really have a pillar move? She said, doesn't it take a huge shaking, a shaking going on? And, you know, we think of what are they called? They're earthquakes and stuff like that to move a pillar. But God, this is an eternal value here. God is the door to where when you go in, you get established as a pillar. And what makes us established? Our relationship with him. Let us all say, I think I was that? I'm not sure if that was you, but let our yeas be yea and our nays nay. Was that last week or something like that? We talked about that. I mean, I think that the pillar of God is one that's used to holding loads. Mm-hmm. And no matter how heavy it is, we don't move. Mm-hmm. And I look at that as a tremendous blessing. And that's a harmonious value for the church, for the body of Christ. Is that, well, you know, I mean, somebody said to me one time, well, I haven't seen you in such a long time. Well, I had just had open heart surgery. And I think I missed a week. But I was here 2 days later to do Ray's ceremony, to help do Ray's ceremony, celebration of his life, Ray Hamill. And when I walked in, people were looking at me like, they were looking like at a dead man. Now, I mean, you know, I didn't maybe have any color or whatever, but the thing was, is they were the ones that said, I haven't seen you in such a long time. Now, you come here, I'm just saying this as an example. You come here, and somebody that you know over the years comes up to you, I haven't seen you in such a long time. What are they saying to you? Because I know what we're thinking about them. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been here. Where you been?
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, don't you think? I know you think that.
Well, we do about you, because you're always here.
Well, no, that's the occasional, you got the key, you can open the door. But the whole thing is, when I believe when we're pillars, actually we're supposed to be covered with Jesus and seen them. But only through Jesus' eyes. You know how a lot of people like, well, I'm a pillar in the church.
Pillar is support. They're support.
Let me read this to you in the
mural. Yeah.
3:8. This is a good one. I'm fully aware of your efforts in doing the work of the ministry. I want you to see something. I have given you a doorway right in front of you that has been fully opened into the heavenly dimension. Nothing can possibly close it again. I like that. Nothing can close it. You know, Jesus opened it. The door is open. Even when you have very little strength, you have treasured my word and you have not contradicted my name. You have not contradicted my nature. Whenever I see name, I always love to change the word to nature. We you know, when even when we have, or whoever he's talking to here, well, it's us. Mm-hmm. Even when you had very little strength, you have treasured my word. It even starts out by doing the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is treasuring the word and not contradicting the nature of God. Those are our works. Those are the works that he gave us to do. It's not by not cutting your hair and wearing long skirts and not going to movies and not dancing. It's by treasuring his word. What does God say? I treasure my word above. Above what?
All else.
Okay, good job. Took me a minute there. Treasured my word and have not contradicted my nature. I think that's good.
See, I think this whole thing goes with Romans, the 8th chapter. What verse is it toward the end? What shall separate you from the love of God? Not a closed door won't.
No.
Because he's the door that opened.
Mm-hmm. He can go through walls.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, whoa. Of course, I know nothing shall separate us from the love of God.
He opens doors we cannot see.
We, Betty and I, used to, like we came to services at Elmwood evening, we'd be there early or what, and there's many times that we had met with Brother Wilson. He wanted to meet, just to share and just to talk and share things with us, and we pray together, and he told Betty one, he said, you are a pillar unto me. He told Betty that. And he said, because there were many times God gave words of wisdom and that, and many times he needed to be ministered to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We'd spend time with him, and he told Betty that one time. So I see that, like I was saying, that pillar of support.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and they stabilize. I mean, if there's a building and that, and there's pillars, like when Samson knocked all the pillars, you know, well, the whole found everything came down, you know. And so there we are, I certainly believe, to support one another, the body, the, yes.
Well, the thing about pillars is that in this building, there's well, we don't call them pillars anymore. A lot of times we'll call them bearing walls,
right,
you know.
Right.
But that's what they are.
And not all the walls are bearing walls. Mm-hmm. There's just certain walls that are they're the load-bearing walls. They hold up the building. I remember going up to Stan's house when he first got his house that they live in now. And they invited us to come up and help them tear down a wall. Well, you were there, I believe. You and me and Mark, I think, were there. Or if you weren't there, we had your saw or something. We had one of those sawzalls. And Stan left. He had to go somewhere to get something and come back. Well, while he was gone, we tore down the wall.
Yeah.
It was doubly down when he come back. Mm-hmm. He had to do nothing. I mean, you know. But we emphasized to him, are you sure that this is not a bearing wall? Because if you take a bearing wall down,
the whole
building can come down on you, you know. And he said he had those kind of gables up in his roof that where they carried their own load or something. I don't know what he was talking about, but he said he had that anyway. So But we tore down two walls, one that went this way and one that went this way, in his living room, and it opened his living room up in that hallway, and it's all open now.
Yeah,
it made it a lot more open and everything, a lot more spacious. And we did that for him. But you know, he asked us to come up and help him. Well, he had to go somewhere, and we just took it down while he was gone because we pretty much knew what we were doing, and we just ripped it down, took it all down. And but the thing about not all things in a building are the pillar. We know we're lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, a pillar is something special. A pillar is someone who, I think personally, and that is someone who tends to carry the load, tends to be there when you need them, tends to be the one that prays for you, tends to be the one that meets your needs when you have a need or whatever, and that kind of thing. But you can't always remember having to do that to them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because a pillar is only held up by the foundation and by what it's holding up.
That, we know who the foundation is.
And Jesus Christ says there's only one foundation. He's the only foundation. Mm-hmm. And I'll read you this here. This is Galatians 2:9. And it said, and then James, Cypheus, and John, who seemed to be pillars, mm-hmm. perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcised. So, you know, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar. And I think everybody should aspire to be a pillar,
yes,
in the temple of God, because that means that basically you're not held up by anything other than the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And and he shall go no more out. And we talk about going out, I'll say this: we do go in and out of the consciousness of God. We do go in and out sometimes of acknowledging him in all of our ways. This is one of Clyde's favorite scriptures.
Still is, yeah.
Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your paths, you know. And and that's a great scripture.
So good.
But we don't always do that. So there is times when we go out of that, you know, of that acknowledgement. There's times when we'll let something upset us or get us worked up or whatever it is. And I think he's trying to bring us to a place where we quit going out. We stay in that God consciousness all the time. You know, the old time Christians used to have a revival and they'd say, oh, the Spirit came down. Well, the Spirit don't have to come down. Spirit's inside of you.
Yes,
it's there all the time.
That's good. Yes.
But we just don't acknowledge it all the time, you know. And when a bunch of Christians used to get together and they'd be having a revival and they'd feel the presence of God, they'd sing or do whatever they did, you know, then they'd get all happy and everything and, well, the Spirit really came down today, you know. Well, no, it didn't come down. It was right there all the time. It was inside of you. And when we come to that realization of where Christ dwells and what he is, then we quit having that tendency to put it outside of us somewhere, you know, instead of saying, well, someday when Christ returns, he has returned. You know, we used to sing it one song.
He has returned.
Yes, he's dead. You got it, Josh. You know all I'm saying. You're right on tune today, buddy.
Yes,
he surely has returned, yeah.
I love that song.
And he has. And
he said he would come again.
That's right. And he does. And he comes to us each and every day in greater ways as we acknowledge his presence. But, you know, I love that because, you know, that a pillar people, not, you know, everybody should aspire to be a pillar person, but not everybody is the pillar person. Mm-hmm. And especially young Christians and stuff like that, they're not a pillar yet. But they can be as they learn to stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ and that only. And as they begin to support the rest of the temple of God and those other lively stones and begin to put other things. You know, a pillar is kind of I'll put it to you like this. It's kind of a unappreciated thing to a certain extent. The pillars in this building, you don't walk in here every Sunday morning and say, oh, there's that pillar, that pillar, you know. You just take it for granted because it's there. And that's you don't even see it because it's covered with a wall, you know. And the only time that you see pillars where you tend to admire them is when you look at these Greek structures where they got this real beautiful, marvelous pillar right out in the front. But you don't see all them other pillars that are back inside the building that are holding it up. Those are out there, they're holding up, but they're more for decoration than anything at that point. But when we realize that being a pillar in the temple of God, we all should aspire to be that. Mm-hmm. But not everyone is that all the time because, you know, some people are not founded as much on Jesus Christ as they are on the pastor or brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I love that old story that Randy Moore told that time about, you know, he had a certain brother that always met his needs, his financial needs, and he said he was living out in the country and he went in the closet and he prayed and he said, Lord, he said, have brother so-and-so send me some money because I ain't got no money. You're evangelist. If you ain't out traveling, you ain't making money, you know, unless people support you on a regular basis or something. Well, he said, you know, he drove down the lane, and when he described this, he was describing my uncle's house where my uncle lived, because he lived in a place just like that, out in the country. Drove down the gravel lane, drove across the railroad tracks, you know, went past the little apple orchard, drove across the railroad tracks, got out to the main highway, and he said the Lord was speaking to him and told him, I'm going to teach you something that I want you to never forget. He kept asking the Lord what it was, and the Lord didn't tell him, and he got out to the main highway, and the Lord told him to just sit there and watch, and he said, okay, he sat there and watched, and he saw this wagon coming down the road, tractor pulling his wagon, and it's going real slow, and he said, well, Lord, I still don't see anything. The Lord said, just sit there and watch. And he said he got him down there, and he said the wagon went past him. He said it had a big load of corn on there. And said a couple of ears of corn fell off the wagon and hit the highway. Sure. When it hit the highway, it scattered corn all over the highway. He said, Lord, I still don't see nothing. He said, just watch. A couple of minutes, of birds flew in, set on the highway and started eating the corn. And then he said the Lord spoke to him and said, you see how I love the birds? He said, I'm your source, not brother so-and-so. He said, I went into my post office box. It makes me smile because Brother Eddie kept a post office box all the way up for many, many years, even after he wasn't speaking much. And he wouldn't get rid of that post office box. He always kept that thing. But anyway, you know, he said he went into the post office box to get his mail or whatever. And he said he had money in there, but it wasn't from Brother So-and-so. It was from somebody else, you know. But, you know, God, a lot of times he teaches you the graphic things. The graphic things are always the greatest because you never forget them when he teaches them to you, you know. But, you know, and that's the thing. When you realize you're founded on him, you don't have to look outside of him. You know what I mean? Now, that doesn't mean God won't use other people, but a lot of Christians, and I'll say this, and I'll be quiet in a minute. A lot of Christians, they cut themselves off from seeing God move miraculously because they run to somebody when they have a need and say, I got a need, rather than taking it directly to the Lord. And if you take it directly to the Lord, you might just be shocked at how miraculously he'll move sometimes, and it usually won't be through somebody that you thought it would have came through, you know, a lot of times. And, you know, I've experienced
sometimes
that.
Sometimes it's even greater than what you were praying.
Oh, absolutely.
And he does it.
Absolutely. And you know, we need to realize he's our source. We're founded only upon him. There is no other foundation. And you know, people can, that's one of the problems I have a little bit with inclusion that people teach out there, inclusion. They have to be founded upon Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. That's the only foundation that there is, you know. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. And without him, the building can't stand, you know. Praise God.
Hey, it's got a note in here on pillars. Mm-hmm. It says a common metaphor for those who represent and strongly support an institution. And then it says right hands of fellowship. It says, a common practice among both Hebrews and Greeks, indicating a pledge of friendship. Like I'm one of you, you're one of me, we're one. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, right? And I think, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of people that aren't in this class right now might not think this, but we feel in this class one in fellowship. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we disclude them.
No.
But to be honest with you, it's about like when you were growing up and they had stuff at school that you could either join or not join. Well, if you're not a member of it, chances are you chose not to join. Mm-hmm. And just because we've gotten older, that's still true. I mean, because, you know, the greater part is desiring to be a member, the body. And when you're part of a body, I remember growing up, part of the body meant a whole lot more than being part of the family, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I feel closer to you than I do a lot of relatives of mine. And I mean, I love my relatives, and I don't want it to say, of course it could be said, well, you've never said you love me, I love all of you. You know, I've said that to so many people growing up, to where I heard one girl, she heard me say that to another girl, and she said, well, I thought I was special. I said, you're loving with the wrong love. God's love continues. Isn't it good that God's love continues no matter how we are, or what we are, or what we say, or His mercies are new and afresh every day. We get the real manna every day because it's fresh and new every day. We don't have to eat stale food. We don't have to do this. We have freshness. And to me, I appreciate freshness. I mean, you know, somebody that wants to be up and get you up and let's burn a little. You know. Don't you want, I mean, I grew up in a house to where, man, we had Church of God prayer meetings at least once or twice a week in the house. See, my dad was bedridden. He couldn't get out. So they came to us. Well, I was a little fart. I was probably 3 or 4 years old. I went crawling in there, man, the Holy Ghost. I didn't know it was inside of you, but I heard a lot of them say, oh, it's falling, it's falling, it's falling. But it was landing on them. And I was on the floor and it was landing on me. And I'm thinking, you know, that's a great thing to know, that you know, that you know, to be a part of the family of God, which knows its celebration. I was asked to speak at my ex-girlfriend's graduation. Well, the pastor of the church got up and said something, and then he asked me to speak after he did. And man, it was all doom and gloom when he was speaking, and I said, no offense, but I don't call this a funeral, I call this a celebration. And after I got done, he got up to speak again, and he never once ever doomed and gloomed it again. But I also want to tell you, he never took his eyes off of me either. Because I wanted him to know, you should be happy. They knew the Lord, and the Lord took them home, and they were at peace when they left, and you think they're not at peace now? They might be kicking up a storm up there, having fun, dancing, whatever. But the thing is, a lot of people would take them back, but I'd see, leave them alone. Because they're telling you, don't take me back, don't bring me back. I got in trouble with a person one time because I told her, I won't mention no names, because I told her, you're quenching the spirit, you're holding on to your mother too long, you need to let her go. She looked right at me, didn't even hesitate, get out of my house. I said, okay. I mean, her mother was suffering something fierce. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that.
You know, you talk about blood, how that there's some people that is not a blood relative, you know, and genetically, and you're closer to others, but the ones that you're closer to in relationship is by the blood of Jesus. And that's why there's a closeness that you have with, you identify.
Right.
There's identification with them. And you wonder, where did this come? You know, I've had, even the lady I take care of, and she just says, just family, I feel like family, so does her family, but it's because of what God has done. And when he joins you,
right,
it's different than a brother, sister, even mother, father, that you are genetically in their bloodline. His bloodline is even greater.
Well, I'll tell you, the day my mom graduated, she told me who she was going to see in heaven that morning. And she mentioned seven generations and never mentioned herself. And I sat there and started crying. She said, are you crying? I said, oh, yeah. Why are you crying? I said, you just told me of seven generations, didn't mention you at all. That's eight. I said, didn't mention me, nine. I said, my children are 10. I said, Mom, what you have told me, I said, I was born in the house of faith. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a whole lot of different blood right there. Mm-hmm. And that's the relationship. What I was going to tell you is, whoever you've talked to, you have been birthed into that freedom of the Holy Spirit. And whoever you talk to shall be birthed into that same Holy Spirit as you talk to them. They're receiving from you. A lot of times, well, what could I do? You'd be surprised. How about this? What could you and God do? God's for you. What could you and God do? Could you give them hope where everybody else has said, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no? I had a lady one time, we went over to pray with our sister, and she was in the very next shell, I want to say, because the doctors came in and pulled. Well, there's six of us over there praying with my sister. She's getting ready to pass. Well, the doctor come out, and we started to leave, and the lady said, excuse me. I go, yeah, this is a lie. She said, how much? I said, how much? How much what? She said, how much will it cost me for you to pray for me? Mm-hmm. Now, I tell you what, when you're saying that to seven people that have the Holy Ghost with them, absolutely nothing. We're honored to pray with you. And she said, well, the doctor just told me I have like 2 weeks to live and I won't be here no more. So we prayed with her and took her name down and gave her a phone number. A year later, she called me. She said, Clyde? I go, yeah. She said, this is Mary. God is still on the throne and I'm still here with everyone. The next year passed, and I got the same phone call. She said, well, it's been 2 years. Doctor don't know everything. She said, he's still on the throne. My whole thing about it was not she was calling me, but her confession.
It was.
He's still on the throne.
Yes.
I mean, that's an amazing thing. He's still on the throne. I never did get the third year, but I thank God for the time she had that she knew that he was on the throne.
Oh, yes.
Well,
praise the Lord.
Our only hope.
And yes.
Father, we don't know the answer.
Yes, Lord.
But Father, we come to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because we know that you have all the answers.
Yes, you do.
We don't know what the answer is, but Father, we trust you to show it to our dear Edo. Father, make the answer known. Make the answer known to her. Father, we don't work for Aspen Dental. Father, we want what is best for our sister.
Yes.
Father, we take all of our expectations from you. We have no expectations in any other, but just you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Give peace, give comfort, give a sense of waiting and seeing, Father, and give us some information that will help. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.